Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 2 through 49. The recitation will be verses 2 through 11 and 45 through 49. Now I'll read. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill, and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me." If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight with each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up your name. As the Paralympics is taking place and many people are watching online, we can see everything that is going on. However, we also realize here that it's very hot still, and there's a report that possibly this heat will continue into September, maybe October. We realize that this heat is something that it can be quite dangerous for our health, both inside and outside. And there's also typhoons coming as well that are quite dangerous. When we're praying about these possible disasters, we can remember your word, Lord. In Isaiah 4, it states that you will be our shade and that you will be our hiding place. Even though we are weak, Lord, we know that we can be grateful because of you. Even we're maybe terrified in circumstances, we can never be worried about what you are doing and who you are. We know you are someone who fulfills their commitments, Lord. As we remember that, we can worship you today with our heart and spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today we're going to be hearing a word from God from the passage that was read just a moment ago. In 2019, on May 11th, around 8 p.m. in Yamanashi Prefecture, there was this sudden power outage that happened. And in some areas, it lasted until nearly midnight. And so this was actually a time of day when a lot of people would have been using power and for light, and they were out. However, at this time, about 40,000 households were out of power. And what was the cause of this power outage? It was actually caused by an animal. And it was caused by a snake. It was caused by a Japanese rat snake. And according to the Tokyo Electric Power Company, this snake went into the fence, into this substation, and got electrocuted as it was tangled in the fence and it touched the machinery. The reason for power outages being caused by snakes is actually quite large in Japan. When I heard this news, I realized that to some extent around the world, it can also be shown as how the devil or evil spirits are working, because what they are doing in the world takes out the light and the power of God. And it also, it can take out the power and the light of God in our hearts if we allow it to. Today we're looking at David and Goliath and their famous battle. First, looking at the backside of Goliath, you can remember that how his background is and how he came to this stance. However, unlike Goliath and this and with a dark side, David is more of a much positive image. In your life, if there was something that was taking away your peace and your light in your heart, then that can be something like a Goliath in your life. So for you, in your life, what should you do to gain victory over such situations? Today we're learning from David's faith and hope to get an answer to that question. First of all, let's look at the background of today's passage. As we explained last time, we talked about how David is selected as king. Through the prophet Samuel, he was chosen to be the next king. And this was actually the prior official crowning of him, and because it would still take a number of years before he would officially be the king. Saul, who was having his throne taken away, actually was becoming mentally unstable. And because of this, you can see how the situation was unstable. And they were looking for a new king, and David was the one who was selected. And of course, this was all orchestrated by God in a mysterious way. David was actually a shepherd and just kind of went part-time to that area where Goliath was. In today's passage in chapter 17, we're seeing how they're coming to this place to have a battle in the Valley of Elah. From today's passage, we're going to look at the topic of to obtain victory of Goliath with three main points. The first point today is about what Goliath is to us. In the Valley of Elah, there were the two armies that were up against each other. And there was the reason why this situation was coming to a head was because Goliath was there. And it mentions that he was actually 6 cubits in a span. So that's actually a height of about 2 meters, 86 centimeters. And it's said that he could possibly be a descendant of the Anakites. He had a spear the weight of 57 kilograms. And like even just the tip of his spear was 6.8 kilograms just in of its own. And he was able to just swing that around as he went. Goliath, for a period of 40 days, early in the morning to evening, he would come and try to terrify the Israelites. Why is it that he would do that so frequently? It's because that he wanted to break down the hearts of the Israelites. When they couldn't see Goliath, the Israelites were actually probably thinking about what they could do to get rid of the Philistines and had a more proactive attitude. But every time they saw Goliath, it's likely that's what took them down. Thinking about how this impacts us living in today, we can think about what Goliaths are in our lives. How is it that such things that cause darkness in your life can take away hope from you? There are a few different things that these Goliath-type situations in our lives can take away from us. The first one is to have a low self-image. Something can make us feel that we're less than what we are. Today, everything is really focused on people's appearances. The media is making great efforts to make these entertainers look totally appealing by their outward appearance, and we see this and hear this message daily. We are told that beauty and health, beauty and well, good appearance are what is most important. In the U.S., there's a book called Broad Body Project, and there's a very interesting article in there, and talking about the diaries, comparing them of girls from 1890s and the 1990s. They were, I'm not exactly sure how they got this information, but it was really interesting to see there's a dramatic change between the content. First of all, in the 1890s, generally high school girls would write in their diaries, like, I want to be more disciplined in my conversation behavior, and I want to think more about what I do before I act. I don't want to let my thoughts wander, and I want to be more interested in others. So it seems that the girls were more interested in working on beautifying the inside of their heart. However, in the 1990s, a common diary entry would have been, I want to make more of an effort to look better. I want to lose weight and get new glasses. I want to have good makeup, and I want to buy new clothing and jewelry as well. You can see that the content is completely different, that in the more recent days, yet the youth were more interested in looking at their outward self-image, and in doing so, they have a self-low image inwardly. Amongst ourselves today as well, there are some people who try to have even surgery done to make themselves look better. The same thing can be said about our capabilities and our talents. This society seems to focus greatly on those things and evaluate people by what they can and can't do. And in this way, unfortunately, people can gain a low self-image when they're constantly compared about what they can and can't do. What this can lead to is actually losing the true beauty and the true image that God has for us. For some people, it can, if they have a low image, it can mean that that is their Goliath in their life. Another item would be failures in our past. That could be our Goliath. Failures in our past can actually inhibit us from doing or trying new things in the future. And we just think, well, if it's going to be the same result as last time, why should I even try? And you don't want to try having the same failure again, so you don't make an effort in the first place. Another Goliath may be a sense of guilt you have. In the past, perhaps you hurt someone, and you're still living with that guilt. So you may want to try to avoid situations like that of hurting others in the future. So that may actually be your Goliath. It may be that you're hurting yourself in that way. You're just always reminded that you hurt someone, and there's no way that you could possibly be happy again in the future. You may just have this never-ending sense of guilt. For other people, a Goliath in their life may be a habitual dependence of some sort. In their recent days, there are all kinds of these things. For example, alcohol or drug addictions or gambling as well. For people with such addictions, they are trying to fill something in their heart, and that is what they end up trying to do. They may receive some kind of temporal fulfillment, but in the end, it doesn't satisfy. When this becomes a custom in their life, it becomes very difficult for them and becomes perhaps a Goliath they're up against. Another example may be a negative legacy in your family history. Different people have different families, obviously, and then when they get married, they're passing it on to some other people. So in this way, many different things that have come up in the past may cause problems in the future. Of course, there's also good things as well. And as you're living with someone else or other people in your family, you're able to see different aspects of different people. There's a lot of cases where married men and women end up becoming more similar because they just are together so much, and the same with family. Last week, my brother-in-law, Hisashi Ishitobi, preached, and after the service, there was one person who came up to me and said to me, "Thank you again for preaching today." He didn't even realize I wasn't speaking. Apparently, we looked the same from a distance. What I do want to say is that I haven't become more like him. It's like he's become more like me. But you can see how even not blood, directly blood related, but relations in such a way can also cause people to become similar. It can also be the problem of the reverse, where problems occur and people who are angry cause other people to become angry in a family. In the society today, there's an issue with abuse. There are some people who abuse their children, and those type of people generally are people who themselves were abused by their parents when they were young. In other words, you can see how this custom of abuse can be passed on in families as well. For many people, Goliaths can cause great pain in their lives. And as we can see also for these people in verse 9, where he said, "He is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." So we can see how sometimes Goliath can come into our lives, and even in the morning, to just try and tear away at our hearts. In such situations, some people give up on their own lives. They give in to Goliath and choose to just follow this Goliath they're up against. However, even though it was the same situation here, there was somebody who saw the situation in a totally different way, and that was David. Looking at the second point, it's about David and his faith. At this time, David had already been prophesied as being the next king. However, he wasn't officially yet king. As I just explained a moment ago, he was a shepherd under his father Jesse, and he would go periodically to other locations to check on sheep. When the war against the Philistines began, his brothers were sent to fight, but David continued to watch sheep with his father. However, one time his father Jesse told him to go check on his older brothers. David was given food, and he went toward the battlefield. David went from Bethlehem to the Valley of Elah to find his brothers. When he got there at the battlefield, he heard Goliath taunting the Israelites. When David saw this, what did he do? He went to Saul and said that he wanted to fight against Goliath. Why is it that David did such a thing? At this time, he wanted to fight against Goliath. And at that time, actually, there was a lot of things promised to anyone who could fight against Goliath, that they would receive great things from the king, including maybe possibly his daughter for marriage. Is it that David wanted all these things, and that's why he was going to fight Goliath? No. The reason why David wanted to go against Goliath was in verse 26. And he said that he wanted to fight against him and to for the purposes of God. And the people around him likely were saying, well, you're too young and you're not experienced, and there's no way you're going to be able to fight against this great warrior. But David didn't give in to that. He just continued to ask for the opportunity. And why is it that he wanted to do so? It's because in his life as a shepherd, he had the confidence that the Lord was with him. In verse 37, it says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." So David realized that the Lord was always with him. In today's passage as well, we can see that these Israelites who had their head full of Goliath were forgetting about God. They didn't even mention God in what they were thinking or saying. Their whole minds were filled with Goliath. But David alone was looking to God. As I just said, there are different Goliaths in our lives. And the Lord, who is living and working in our hearts, is much more powerful than any of these Goliaths. That is something that we need to know and to remember. We need to turn our hearts and eyes toward Jesus, and in doing so, our lives can change in a 180-degree direction. In 2018, at the age of 76, there was a person who passed away by the name of Aretha Franklin, a singer, and was actually who sang at like the president's inauguration ceremony and other famous instances. There is one famous song that is by this person called "One Night with a King." And I would like to share a few of the lyrics with you today. One night with the king changes everything. I'm telling you that one night in God's care, it will forever, forever and ever change your course. One moment in his presence, and nothing, nothing will stay the same. Yes, one night with the king changes everything. Many people are facing Goliath, and that's taking them down. They don't know God, and they just give their lives to Goliath and give up on what they're doing. However, we want to reach out to those people and tell them that Jesus Christ is the one who can gain victory over any Goliath, and that when you know Jesus Christ, your life can be changed. Let's look at the final point, how the God who changes our weaknesses into strengths. At this time, what is it that David took with him to fight against Goliath? It explains later that Saul would try to give David things that he could fight with, but David declines all of them. What is it that he took with him instead? He took with him what he usually used, which was his shepherd's staff and his slingshot. And he took five smooth pedals with himself to fight. You may wonder, why is it that he took five pebbles? If David had strong enough faith to fight Goliath, he only would have needed one, right? In the Bible, it doesn't actually explain the reason why he took five. But there's one passage that kind of gives a hint as to possibly why, and that's in 1 Samuel 21, verses 6 through 20, stating that there were four other people, such as Goliath, that David could have fought as well. And so it's possible that David was wanting to take each one of them out, which would have been a total of five. David took his shepherd's staff and sling to go stand up against Goliath. This weapon was something that actually represented a weakness in David. As we were explaining last time, when David was selected as king, the prophet Samuel first asked Jesse to show his sons, and Jesse showed the seven. And then he asked, well, are these all your sons? Are there any more? And then Jesse said, oh, yeah, there's one more. He's the youngest son, though, and he's off watching sheep right now. And so David was actually not even on his father's radar, but they waited until he was brought. And so it shows, in a sense, how a shepherd would have had a low status. His brothers, on the other hand, were sent off to fight. His father would have probably thought, well, David's still very young and he's not experienced enough to be able to go fight, so he just needed to watch sheep for a few more years. That would have also shown David's weak point. But God used even David's weaknesses and his weak characteristics to fight against Goliath. And in this way, he was able to actually gain victory over Goliath. God didn't deny David's past or his background. He just used the weaknesses that David had and changed them into strengths. And that's the kind of character God is, the kind of God he is. He uses even our weaknesses to change them into strengths to face amazing battles. Let me tell you the testimony of a person before I close today. It's the pastor by the name of Bill Wilson. And he actually came to Japan and did a lot of talks in the past years. He often went to the slums in the U.S. to help homeless children there. And people would often advise him, don't go to that area, it's too dangerous. And he would actually intentionally go there to look for children to help. Why is it that he started to do such work? It's because it related to him. When he was 12 years old, his parents divorced. He was taken in by his mother, but his mother didn't have really the capability to raise him. And there was a day when she took him out into the city, and she said to him, I'm just going to go do something real quick, and then I'll be right back, so just wait for me. However, she didn't return. He waited a day and 2 days, and she still didn't come back. Bill did exactly what she said and didn't eat anything or drink anything, but just waited there for his mom. Just by chance, there was a Christian man who came by, and he talked to him. He heard what Bill's situation was, and he realized that, oh my, this guy has been, tossed out by his mom. So this man took Bill to the church that he attended. And at that church, they were actually having a children's camp just at that time. So he went to this camp and was able to participate. That evening, Bill first heard about Jesus Christ and salvation through him. And he actually received Christ. He prayed to him. He reflects back on that time by saying, in my dark heart, I felt that there was light coming in, and it was the first time where I could see something bright. Thereafter, he was taken in by a pastor and grew up in the church. People in the church really loved him and helped him to grow. When he became an adult, there was a day when near the church, there was something that really terrible happened. It was that a 4-year-old girl was found dead in a cooler icebox, and her entire body had been badly abused. At that time, Bill really felt that God was speaking to him and saying to him, you need to help these type of children. And Bill made the decision then to go to the New York slums and to help children there. He did that even in areas where there was drugs and robbery going on. There were not times where he was, being shot at or hurt, but he was still one of these dangerous places, and people would often ask him, why do you risk your life to do that? And he replied by saying that as I drive around in a car, I can see or look for children who are in difficult situations, and I can look at them and realize that was me a few years ago when I was a child, and there was a Christian man who was looking or looked around and saw me. So I'm just looking at myself, and I want to help others as I was helped. So for him, he was able to meet Jesus Christ, and he was able to have the weaknesses he experienced as a child changed into strengths. He was able to face the Goliath in his life and gain victory. Today, we've looked at how we can obtain victory over Goliath by looking at the life of David. In our lives, we all face different things that can take away hope and light. For some people, it may be that the Goliath in their life is just so big they can't even know where to start, and they just want to give in and give their hearts to the Goliath. But we can be encouraged by David to realize that the God that lives in us is stronger and can gain victory over any Goliath. He can change our lives by 180 degrees. We can trust God and to put our axis related around God and to stand strong in Him. At the same time, we can remember that in the world we live in, there are many people who don't know God who are giving in to Goliaths that they are facing. But us who know God already have the responsibility and the honor of being able to reach these people. I would like to read verses 45 and 46 in close today. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." This very day, I will give your carcasses all to the Philistine enemy and to the dirt, birds, and animals. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to worship you. Today, we've looked at the battle between David and Goliath and learned about David's faith. For us in living in present day, there are various things that we can be facing that can be considered Goliaths in our lives. In some cases, those Goliaths can be quite large, but we don't have to become a slave to them, even though that may seem to be the easy thing to do. We can learn from David as we did today and remember that he looked to you, Lord, to remember that you are stronger than any Goliath that we may have facing us. We can remember that you are a God who can change our lives. In addition, we can also remember that there are many people who don't know you, that they are facing similar Goliaths but have no hope and may be giving in to the Goliaths that are facing their lives. Allow us, Lord, those of us who have already known you first, to be able to reach such people, realizing we are called to do so. Lord, we ask that in this coming week as well, that we'll be able to be used by you in great ways, and we'll be able to do so in joy. Allow us, Lord, to be used for your purposes. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, this coming week, and forevermore. Amen.